ever sang that song Obedience before, have we? I'm not sure. That's a really good song, but really good song because it really relates to what I'd like to share today. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily. Action is the key. Do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. I just thought that was a really good way to think about what I wanted to share today from the Word, and just to talk about probably something that I need to be working more on in my own life is total obedience, and what does that look like, and what does God promise with total obedience, and what are the consequences of not obeying fully. This actually, I came across this because of my daily reading. Does anyone remember my challenge at the beginning of the year? What was the challenge, Kathy?
Read the Bible.
Read the Bible by the end of the year, but halfway through. Oh, you don't remember that part? I think I said that, right?
You get a prize if you read it.
Okay, so halfway through, you need to show me somehow by next. July 7th is next Sunday, right?
Is July 7th next Sunday?
No. Okay, Sunday after that. Show me in some way that you're halfway through the Bible, okay? And that could be in multiple ways or versions. If you're following a 365-day Bible, I don't know how many of you are using this. Don't look at how many X's I have because I don't know if I quite make it yet. But if you could show me like 150 days that you're keeping up with something, you'll get a gift card of some sort, okay? And then don't ask me about the end of year gift. I haven't even thought about that. So, but I need some kind of tangible way. If it's your spouse that could tell me that you're reading halfway through, or your parents, either way. But I need to know something tangible also, okay? But I'm really just amazed that I've read through the Bible a few times when I was real young. But after going to college, I kind of have not done it in a while. But it's just been a blessing. One of the things that I use, and I think I mentioned it before, is the Audible Bible. And on the way to work, which is like 15-minute drive, I could get like two or three chapters in. I just have to remember I have to check it off when I get back home. But it's just a blessing because you're listening to the Word of God, and you're like, oh, wow, I don't remember this story coming out of nowhere. It's kind of like that Wednesday night devotion on Nabal. It was just out of nowhere. It came out. I'm like, it's amazing how the Lord blesses and taught me a lesson just by reading through the Bible. So this is one of the ones that I came across, and I was really blessed by it. Do we have the clicker? Is the clicker somewhere?
Oh, you haven't put it in.
I've got to put it in, too. It makes sense, huh?
Yeah. Should recognize it.
So, partial obedience. There it goes. It's going to work. Partial obedience is still disobedience. And I'd like to turn to Joshua chapter 23 and look at another godly man, godly character's departing words and departing challenge. And it's a really good thought, really good lesson for us to think about this in the same way today. Again, looking at Old Testament stories and seeing how they apply to us today really should encourage us because, you know, these godly characters, they were not perfect all the time, but they still had a heart to listen and to adhere to God's Word. So these departing words is what I'd like to share and think about as the Lord leads us today. Joshua chapter 23, and I'm going to read the whole chapter because it's really a good chapter to think about. Now it came to pass, a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua was old and advanced in age. Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and said to them, I am old and advanced in age. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. See, I had divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan, with all the nations that have cut off, as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight. So you shall possess their land as the Lord your God promised you. Verse 6, therefore be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. Unless you go among these nations, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them. But you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, and you, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations, but as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. Verse 10. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, as he promised you. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Or else, if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go into them, and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord God has given you. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. Verse 15. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all the good things have come upon you which the Lord God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things until he has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you once again, Lord, that we have the opportunity to come and worship before you, Lord, and to give you all praise and majesty due unto your name. Lord, we thank you for this great inheritance and salvation you've given us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask now, Lord, that you would help us to meditate on the Scriptures, help us to meditate on what it means to obey and live a life of obedience. Lord, may we glean the truth, Lord, and leave here blessed and even more challenged and passionate for your glory. Lord, we thank you for all these things in your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Partial obedience is still disobedience. You know, when I was young, I used to love eating Chips Ahoy chocolate chip cookies. I loved, loved, loved. My wife could, when we go, my wife doesn't buy it, and good thing she doesn't buy it now. But every time I go to my mom's house, in my parents' house in Florida, she has one waiting there all the time. And I clean it out within 2 days. I'm out because I love dipping it in milk or in chai or some sort. Just love it falling into the milk and drinking it afterwards. Anyway. But, you know, my parents growing up, you know, they bought it for us. But they always kind of rationed it. You know, we had three boys, right? You have to ration it. So they would tell us, okay, milk time or morning time, only 4 cookies. And I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. I usually have 9 or 10 right now. But 4. And I was just like, oh, okay. But late at night, after everyone goes to sleep, I would sneak into the kitchen, you know, the hand and cookie jar kind of thing. And I would just take a few more cookies. And, of course, they would figure it out by the morning. My mom would be upset. My dad wouldn't really say anything. But my mom would be upset. And I really didn't obey, right? You know, I obeyed in the morning. But then I kind of, what's the big deal? You know, I could take a few and they wouldn't even count it. You know, I would really be into counting the cookies, make sure the ration would be right. But it was still disobedience, and I always remember that in my mind of disobeying when I was a kid, of not obeying my mom and eating the right appropriate amount of cookies. And you know, there was something I learned was, if I don't listen, there won't be cookies until my mom goes to the grocery store again. And the blessing of having cookies throughout the week. Anyway, this is a bad, long, drawn-out illustration, but I realized that, you know, there's blessing when I would listen and hear to my mom. In the same life, same way in the life of a believer, God has so many blessings for us and promises for the life of a believer. And we don't really realize it because we choose to compromise. We choose to go our own way. And then we fall into sin, right? The consequences of sin. And, you know, the Lord doesn't get the glory then either. But we learn by faith to walk and adhere to his will. In this passage, Joshua, I'm always, I guess I'm a little infatuated by a dying man's last words. You know, when we were studying Exodus, we kind of looked into Moses' last words. And I always try to figure out, okay, what did this guy learn throughout his life, especially a believer's life? What was his last words? You know, I couldn't believe the day William McDonald, right? He's passed away, right? And when I heard that, it just kind of jolted me because I thought he'd be around forever because he had such amazing commentary, and I would have loved to be at his deathbed just to hear how the Lord has walked with him in faith. Here, the Lord gives us a picture of his last words. And what does he give the children of Israel? And you have to think, the children of Israel has just gone through this great journey, you know, and, you know, into the land of Canaan and all that God has promised them, right? And the land of Canaan was their inheritance. But what did we read in just now in 23? They had to go in and possess it. You know, in the life of a believer, we're given, at the point of salvation, a great inheritance, right? But what do we still have to do? Live the life of a believer, right? And you have to possess. You have to possess your salvation, and you're living this life of progressive sanctification, right? And growing in faith. And I think Joshua hits on some of these points here, and what must ye do to possess? To follow the blessings of God, to adhere to his word, and live a life that glorifies him. You know, he promised them a land of Canaan, right? A great inheritance. And he promised them that he will be with them, right? You will conquer, but you would, at the most, what does he say? You shall love the Lord your God. He was more emphasizing the relationship, right? You know, we have a great inheritance, but the Lord wants us to live for his glory now. So, living a life that glorifies him. Take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. This is, again, Joshua, you got to picture him, his departing words and challenge. Take heed, take diligent heed. In the New King James, it says, verse 11, therefore take careful heed. Diligent. Diligence has that idea of putting your effort, putting your time into it, putting your passion into knowing the Lord. It says here, taking careful heed. You know, that has that connotation of adherence, of being mindful to follow the word of God, to everything that he says. Here we see, again, Joshua's departing words and the children of God's lack of adherence to this. You know, actually what triggered this kind of study for me was the first and second chapter of Judges, where they fell away. And it triggered me to ask, well, what was Joshua's departing words? What did he give them? And what caused them to fall away? What causes us to not obey? What causes us to fall away? And we're going to look at some of those things. We're going to look at his departing challenge and his three main points. What would cause the gradual falling away into sin for the next generations? And then how can we in our lives today, and this is going to hit home more for some of the younger crowd here, and the not so young, right, as Roy put it. But how can we take up Joshua's challenge today to live a life of obedience? And I really love this chapter because it really speaks to our hearts. But how can we take up Joshua's challenge today? You know, It was awesome to be here the week of the 2 weeks of the outreach, because you just had people passionate, on fire. All right, ready? Let's ready to go. And then it ignited a fire for some of us not so young, right? It was like, wow, this is easy. This is it's great to have the young men from the Genome and the C3 team and to hear their testimonies. Well, what causes that to dim as we walk more and more in the years of faith? It's a gradual falling away. It's a gradual compromising of the faith, right? We're going to look at some of what causes that. And I just really quick want to point out what was given to the children of Israel. You see here the tribes here, and you see here what areas that they were divided into, right? And this was great. This was amazing what the Lord had provided for them, you know, as they crossed over and they took possession. But they had a problem, right? And we read this in earlier part of Joshua. But they had to go in and possess, right? For them to possess, they had to get the Gentiles out, right? This is what they were up against, okay? And this is really interesting, just to look at who were all in the land at that time. The Ammonites, the Philistines, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Ites, okay? The Ites were all in there. But the key thing that we want to remember here is God promised this land, and God was going to fight with them. And so it was a great journey for the children of Israel to see. Now you got to remember, before this, again, as we step into Judges, this was the generation that came out of the wilderness, seeing the hand of God through Egypt, and all that the hand of God has done, and then they're given this, right? And we know some of this through Joshua. Joshua's departing words and children of God's lack of adherence. Three main points and challenge to love the Lord and follow His commands. And I want to really dwell on these points, and I'm going to give them to you real quick here. The first one here that Joshua challenges the children of God with are really, they're simple ideas, but really ideas that Joshua exemplified in his own life. And he's kind of challenging them, saying, hey, this is what God wants for you. This is what he requires of you. Keeping God's word, and this is found in the chapter we read. Be very firm then to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you may not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. So the first thing he says, keep the word of God. To keep the word of God, you got to know the word of God, right? And you don't know the word of God unless you are in it all the time. You know, this is something, you know, when I was young, I went through Awana, you know, I was rogue memorization. And then when I got serious with the Lord as I left high school and college, this kept hitting my head. I need to spend time. I need to spend time in the Word. And from that, I just grew immensely. But it takes time, right? Like that verse previously said, take diligent heed, take careful heed in our relationship with the Lord. Keeping God's word. Second thing he says is cleave to the Lord. First he says keeping God's word. Next he says in verse 8, but you are to cling to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. In King James Version it says, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. This connotation of cleaving, it's a whole different connotation, right? You know, us married folk, you cleave to your spouse, right? It's a deeper level of relational, right? Relationship with another person. You know the Lord. You know you walk with the Lord, and you cling to the Lord in a deeper level where you're, and some things I'm going to bring out later, is you're in prayer constantly, 24/7. Well, not when you're sleeping. Well, maybe you could dream that. Anyway, but you're in constant relational relationship with the Lord. What does that look like? And we're going to look at even Joshua's life. What does that mean? And the next one, it says, love the Lord. Take diligent heed yourselves to love the Lord your God. You see, Joshua, in his departing challenge, he wasn't saying, he wasn't creating a list of you must do this, you must do this, you must do this. What was he talking about? He was talking about a relationship aspect with the Lord and loving the Lord God. And he was basing a lot of these things on his own experiences, which was quite amazing. So let's look at the first one, and I'm just going to kind of just bring out some points here. Again, partial obedience is still disobedience. Challenge to love the Lord. And again, this verse here, be very firm, then to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Understanding the word of God daily is it should be a devotional aspect for us, right? If we want to follow the Lord, understand His will for our lives. You know, there was a period in my life in college, and a lot of times in college, I know a lot of college students go through this. What is His will? What is His will for me? Well, I don't know God's will. It's just so confusing. You know, and I came to the realization after I started studying more and reading the Bible, His will is right before me, before my eyes, in the Word of God. I was just not in the Word of God enough and knowing the will of God. But He brings it out to us in His Word of God, in the Word of God. You know, keeping God's Word in Joshua's own life was really a pretty amazing thing. He knew the importance of reading the Word of God and living by it. In Joshua 1, 7 through 9, and some of you guys probably know some of these verses, especially verse 9, he starts out this great journey of leading the people. And in the very first chapter of Joshua, he says, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have successes wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. What a thought there. Joshua, as a young commander, as a young leader, starts out in the right way, right? In the right path. You young ones, I want you to really take notice of Joshua. You know, he was given this awesome task from Moses, right? To lead the people. And he didn't start, you know, writing all his little plans and getting all his strategies to attack people. Yeah, I'm sure that probably came along the way. But where did he start? He started with the Word of God. And he said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful. There's that word again. Be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. See the promise there? Make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What an encouraging thought there that he gives. If I follow the Word of God is in my heart, right? The Word of God is in my mind. And if I'm careful to abide by it, your way will be prosperous. Your life will be founded on the Word of God. You know, there's a lot of young believers that come to college. They step into college, and they're thrown into secular thought, right? They're thrown into secular philosophies. And if they're not grounded, we've seen this, right? I'm sure you've seen examples of people being tossed in the wave to whatever the popular thought is of that day. But I thank God that the Lord found me when I was a freshman. And He led a good, godly campus crusade leader to come and say, hey, let's come to my dorm. We're having a men's Bible study. You know what? He challenged us to read the Word of God. There was no, you know, great thought or any. He wasn't a big, huge speaker. He just said, let's just read the Word of God together. And that encouraged me so much to know, one, that there were other believers out there, two, that it was still the Word of God. Nothing other than that. But look at Joshua's life. Joshua, and guys, you got to think, and this is, I think, amazing for you young people. As a young commander, as a young leader, he found where his source was. And that's what encouraged him. Look later on in Joshua chapter 11, 12 through 15. Joshua captured all the cities of these kings and all their kings, and he struck them with the edge of the sword and utterly destroyed them, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded. How did he know that? How did he know that? As God instructed Moses, he read the word of God. He knew it. He walked with Moses. However, Israel did not burn any cities that stood on their mounds except Hazor alone, which Joshua burned. Verse 14, all the spoils of these cities and the cattle and the sons of Israel took as they plundered. But as they struck every man with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, they left no one who breathed. And then in verse 15, just as the Lord had commanded Moses' servant, so Moses commanded Joshua. And so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. You see, Joshua following the word of God that he was reading. You see the power that's there in understanding and knowing the word of God. Joshua, as a young man, dedicated his life to just reading the word of God. How devoted are we? How dedicated are we in reading the word of God? That's something that I want to really impress as us as a young or small assembly, is how devoted are we in knowing and understanding the word of God? It brings blessing. It brings blessing. You know, I pray often and with Ruba and with our family, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would be of one mind and one spirit in this place, and that we would study the word of God together, understand the word of God together. You know, ask questions. I like our Wednesday night setup when we ask questions of knowing the Word of God. We have to know His will through His living Word. You know, Psalms 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. I like the latter half of Psalms 19. More to be desired than any gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is that promise again, right? There is great reward. God blesses when we read the Word of God. You know, I see the Word of God as a roadmap, as knowing the will of God, and it leads me in life. And it makes me sure, right? No matter what the storms of life brings, I know I have a foundation. I know it's rooted in what God has said. Next one, cleave to the Lord. So we first says keeping the word of God. Next is cleave. Cleave. What does it mean to cleave to the word of God? You are to cling to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. So Joshua is giving a challenge to cleave. And then he says, look at what we've all been through. Look how as the Lord has brought us through. Cling to it. Cling to God's promises. Understand it. Joshua's devotion to the Word of God was not some ritualistic practice. It's not some ritualistic practice, but a habit of knowing not just the Word of God, but the God of the living Word. He had a walking, living, vital, vibrant life with God. But the God of the Word, and to grow in love and fellowship with Him. You know, that's what should encourage us. You know, when we're walking and we're clinging and we're knowing the Word of God, it's just awesome. It's just really awesome when we know that we're walking right in His will and His eyes. Clinging. You know, let me pause here. You know, when you go to camp, right? You go to camp and you have these on fire Christians, right? Then you have those that don't even know the Lord, but then there's that middle ground, right? Those believers that say, yeah, I was saved at 10, I was saved when I was 12, and they just came to hang out. But when they encounter the Lord during the week at a mountaintop camp or at a conference of what some sort, they're re-energized because they saw how far away they drifted from knowing the Lord. Where they are at that point. You know that mountaintop experience? Joshua was walking with the Lord as he was always on the mountaintop. Sure, we mess up in life, but when we cling to the Word of God, there's nothing like just having him right by your side and living by his hand. God's promises were unconditional and conditional. You know, he promised unconditionally that these were going to be a nation unto nations, right? That was a long time promise. But there was also conditional promises, right? Like the commanding Moses and the children of Israel to wipe out, right? To wipe out these Gentile nations. And we're going to see later on how if you don't follow these conditional promises, what happens? You allow sin to creep into your life. You allow idol worship from these Gentiles, the Baals, the worship, the allowing the other worship things to come into your life. And then you have to deal with the consequences, right? All dependent on their obedience to the Word of God and fulfillment of the relational covenant with God. He wanted to be their God. And he wanted no other competition. Because he was their God. He wanted us to cleave to him. Israel entered and conquered the land, but the enjoyment of it depended on their fulfillment of keeping God's commands. See, again, God promised, right? God promised the land of Canaan. But they had to go in and possess it. We're given salvation at the point of salvation, right? When we know the Lord, we're given that salvation. Eternity is ours with him. But there's a life to live, right? There's progressive sanctification. There is enjoyment in the believer's life, but dependent on knowing the Word of God, cleaving to the Lord, and walking with him, right? There's blessing there. There's tremendous blessing. You know, you see a lot of believers that are Sunday Christians, whatever you want to call it, Sunday Christians or those lackadaisical kind of lazy Christians, and they're living a life of, what's next? But when you understand all that God has for you and what he has given to you, it's powerful. I don't know about you guys, but when I saw Caleb Harris that came last week, or Ian, or any of the Calebs, or any of the Genome guys, you could tell they were passionate for the gospel. Why? Because they were close to their Savior. When they got up and gave their testimony, or when they were on the street, or you should have saw Ian sharing in front of these kids at the mobile home park, and how passionate he was. He was enjoying his relationship with the Lord. Why? Because he was close to the Lord. There's blessing there. God would enable them to claim all of their inheritance only if they kept their end of the covenant and obeyed him with all of their hearts. We're gonna see what happened. Look at an example of cleave to the Lord in Joshua's own life. Joshua 8:30-35. Then Joshua built an altar to the Lord. This was in the midst of fighting, right? In the midst of leading these people. He built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the sons of Israel, as written in the book of the law of Moses. An altar of uncut stones on which no man had wielded an iron tool. And they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. He wrote there on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written in the presence of the sons of Israel. So he's being a living testimony to the children of Israel. All Israel with the elders and officers and their judges were standing on both sides of the ark before the Levitical priests who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the stranger as well as the native. Half of them stood in the front of Mount Gerizim and half of them in the front of Mount Ebal, just as Moses the servant of the Lord had given command at first to bless the people of Israel. And listen to this. Then afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to all that was written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, and the women, and the little ones, and the stranger who were living among them. You see how close, how passionate Joshua was, because example after example, he made known the word of God, and this is how he lived his life out. He exemplified it in his own life. He was cleaving to his source of life, which was the Word of God. And I bet his love, and he was just, the blessings he was receiving and walking so close to the Word of God, so close to God, was amazing. you can see why Joshua was so powerful. Not powerful in his own being, but powerful because of his God, right? And he was leading a group of people that needed to know it as well. Cleave to the Lord, but you are to cling to the Lord your God. One of the most important things that God wanted them to do was to remain a separated people and not to infect themselves with the wickedness of the Gentile nations around them. Has that changed? Has that changed for us? It may have been changed in your own life when you allow different idols into your own lives or a different latest fad or some kind of whatever it may be. But one of the important things that God wanted us to do was to remain a separate people and not to infect ourselves with the wickedness of the world around us, but to live as lights, right? To live as lights. The last thing, love the Lord. Last point here, love the Lord. So take diligent heed, and remember, careful heed, take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. It was a warning as well, right? Take diligent heed, take careful heed. And what was he saying? He's one, dwelling on the goodness of God. Joshua recaps Joshua 24, all that the Lord has done for the children of God. Now he has provided for them since. If you look real quickly at Joshua 24, it's a review of Israel's history. Why on the on his deathbed, or why departing words, would he go through a historical record of everything? Why? What was the point? To remind them of God's blessings and God's promises, right? The love, he wanted to remind them, look at the love of God. Look at how many times. You know, when we went through Exodus, it was like a yo-yo story, right? God saved them out of Egypt. They're in the wilderness. They wanted water. They wanted meat. They wanted this. And God did what? God provided, right? God kept on providing the love of God. And Joshua dwells on the goodness of God and reminds them. Pause. Think about the goodness of God in your own life. Does it encourage your heart now? If I could just think about my own family and my grandparents that came out of Hinduism or whatever, I'm thankful for the goodness of God. I'm thankful for my own personal salvation and all the Lord has provided for me. I'm thankful that the Lord did not allow me to go into all the parties and the fraternities and all the things that college had to offer me. I'm thankful he kept me from it, and I'm here today. You see what Joshua's doing? He's reminding them, look at the goodness of God. You can look in this room and just think about our own families. This is a rarity to see husbands and wives and a good family sitting before your eyes. It's not something to take for granted. The goodness of God. I wrote, never forget, never neglect your gratitude for what God has done for you in your own life. Meditate on the goodness of God is a strong motivation for obedience and growth in love. I love reading through the Psalms over and over again because it just reminds me, you know, Psalms 103, never, don't forget all the benefits in God. Don't forget all the benefits. Meditating on the goodness of God. If we love the Lord, we'll want to obey Him and please Him. So the essential thing is that we cultivate a satisfying relationship with God. Are you cultivating? Are you cultivating? Are you allowing the weeds to grow up in your life? Are you allowing things to enter into the family, into your relationship with your spouse? Things that shouldn't be there, or are we cultivating? Are we taking heed and being careful on how we're developing our relationship? My question here, when was the last time you spent quality time with the Lord? You know, we could get so busy in life that we forget to step out. We get to pause, press the pause button. You know, Joshua kind of did this with the children of Israel, right? He said, okay, these are my departing words. Pause. Let's meditate on God's goodness. When was the last time we or you spent quality time with the Lord? Warren Wiersbe says, too many Christians have not only compromised with the enemies, but also have capitulated to the enemy, and the Lord is not first in their lives. Think about that. Too many Christians have not only compromised with the enemy, but also have capitulated to the enemy, and the Lord is not first in their lives. if you're far away from where you need to be with the Lord, I think there's some compromising going on. I think you've lost your first love. We've lost our first love if we're not there with the Lord. How active is our life with the Lord? Something here, and I'm going to close with some of these, and I know our time is gone. Conditional promises. The Lord uses these promises to chasten us, right? You know, if we don't walk with the Lord in the right way, if we allow sin to enter our lives, we have to deal with the consequences, right? Just as the children of Israel, He uses chastening to what? Bring them, grow them in faith, and to bring them back to Himself. Chasten, to correct, punish, suffer, discipline, purify. And this is where I actually triggered my study here, was actually what happened after Joshua's departing challenge. What happened after Joshua gave them what they need to be doing? God's word and promises are used to chasten His children to submission. Like Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, there's two sides. You know, a sword can be used in a good way, but it also can be used to chasten, right? To help a believer to come back to himself. Joshua, we read in Joshua 23 again, 12 through 13, for if you ever go back and cling to the rest of these nations, here's the warning here, right? Here's the warning. For if you ever go back and cling to the rest of these nations, these will remain among you and intermarry with them, so that you associate with them and they with you. Know with certainty that the Lord your God will not continue to drive these nations out from before you, but they will be a snare, right? A snare and a trap to you, and a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Cannot this be said of us today? Can this not be related to us today? If we go back and cling to the things of this world from our former lives, pre-salvation, if we cling to those things, isn't it a snare to us now? Sin that so easily entangles us? And here's the warning here. Here's the Lord your God will not continue to drive these nations out. God doesn't say, you go into a sinful relationship or whatever, and there's certain consequences. He doesn't clean it all up. You still have to deal with the consequences, right? But God uses that, what? To grow us in faith, to grow us closer to Him, chastening. So here's Joshua's warning, and I think it's a good warning for us today. You know, good warning for us today, and how we live for the Lord. James, just real quick, James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. You know, this idea of knowing the word of God, but also doing and following after the word of God. Obeying. Not just partially obeying. This is what the children of Israel, after Joshua's word, was kind of doing. They want to see, can we kind of intermingle with the Gentile nations? And that was not true. Just real quick, and I'm going to close with these. This is what happened. Look at Judges chapter 1. Judges chapter 1. So Joshua challenges them, but what do we see in Judges? Judges chapter 1, verse 27. However, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth, Sheen and its villages, or Tanakh and its villages, or the inhabitants of Dor and its villages, or the inhabitants of Ibleam, sorry, I'm probably going to butcher a lot of these names, and its villages, or the inhabitants of Megiddo and its villages, for the Canaanites were determined to dwell in the land. And it came to pass when the Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites under tribute, but did not completely drive them out. So you know Moses' command was to what? Destroy, right? To drive them out, to destroy. Nor did, verse 29, nor did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Gezer, so the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. I'm going to skip through some of this. Let's Okay, let me skip to Judges chapter 2, verse 7, okay? Now you got to follow along with what the partial obedience, and here's the disobedience. Judges 2, verse 7. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old, and they buried him within the border of his inheritance. I'm going to skip down. Verse 10. When all that the generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them, who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their father, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. So they forsook the Lord and served the Baals and the Asherahs. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So what happened? Verse 14. So he delivered them into the hands of the plunderers and who spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. You see this. You see this thought here. You know, they allowed the Gentile nations to live among them, right? They start to intermarry with them, whereas they fail to follow God's promises. Again, they had land. The land of Canaan was their inheritance. But they did not truly possess it, right? If they truly possessed it, followed after the Lord, keeping the word of God, cleaving to the Lord their God, and loving the Lord their God, they would have enjoyed, they would have had great enjoyment and blessing, right? Following after Him. Same thing in our own lives. We fail, we get stressed, we get worried, we get full of anxiety, because I think we're not founded more in the Lord or following after Him. Joshua's challenge here, I think, speaks to us today. And you know, it's amazing that, you know, following what Warren Wiersbe said, too many Christians have not only compromised with the enemy, but also have capitulated to the enemy. And the Lord is not first in their lives. What is first in your life? What is driving your life? Is it the Lord? Or is it the things of this world? Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, once again we praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the great salvation you've given us. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, your living word, Lord, that teaches us even today, Lord, in the life of Joshua. What a tremendous testimony of living out your word and living a vibrant life, glorifying your name. Lord, I pray that we would take Joshua's challenge today, Lord, and take even the warnings, Lord, that he placed before the children of Israel, and that we may apply to our lives, Lord, and that we may, Lord, get our life right with you, Lord, and live passionately for thy glory. Lord, help us to deal with the sin in our lives, Lord. Help us to confess it before you, and Lord, confess it to whoever we've wronged. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as we leave here today, Lord, that we would be bright lights, Lord, that you have called us to be. Lord, and we just... Lord, thank you again, and we love you. Thank you again for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His name that we pray. Amen.